Language you're quoting is in draft form.
Right, yeah. So it's the proposed, State Board's proposed draft permit that will replace the Phase 2 general permit the State Board adopts.
And what time frame, does anyone know the time frame that the Southern Salinas Valley cities are on with their Phase 2 permit?
There's just one statewide permit, and it's in the adoption process. I think the state, and so that one permit would apply to all the Phase 2s in our region. I believe that the State Board staff plans to get it in front of the State Board this year, this calendar year.
And why would they do it so soon if it was if the deadline was 2014?
Well, the State Water Board adopts the permit. The Regional Board doesn't adopt the permit for the Phase 2. The State Board adopts it, then the Phase 2 cities enroll in it. So that's just in the proposed State Board permit, they have the same requirement about the 5,000, and they just have a proposed deadline in there of meeting that requirement.
Basically, the 2014 is just when they have to start complying with that. They'll have the permit earlier, but it gives them some time to figure out how to do it before they have to start complying.
Okay. So does it seems to make sense. Is it logical then to require the same of City of Salinas as far as the compliance timeline?
Well, like the staff said, the City of Salinas is a Phase 1 permittee. They're on their third round of permits. And Phase 1 permittees are generally they're a step ahead of the Phase 2, and they're kept a more stringent standard sooner than the Phase 2 permittees.
And I want to add, Francis, that in this case, I'm back here. Sorry. In this case, in our region, some of our Phase 2 communities are actually already using a 5,000 square foot threshold for their interim implementation of low impact development requirements. And they've been doing that according to the schedule we laid out for the joint effort. During the 2 years that the joint effort is being developed, they're implementing low-impact development on the appropriate projects based on their own analysis of applicability. And many of them have selected 5,000 square feet for the initial trigger. And so there's a variety of different requirements that are going into place, but it's generally recognized 5,000 square feet represents the scale of development that starts to matter in terms of cumulative effects. When you start to add them all up over time, they can have an actual improvement on water quality when you start taking those redevelopment projects into the fold.
Do you know if there's any South Salinas Valley cities that are adhering to that 5,000 foot?
South Salinas? I don't know. I don't think that Soledad or King City is at 5,000, but I'm not positive. Atascadero and Paso Robles are, I think, in that they are in the 5,000 because they're both in the San Luis Obispo County approach, and they're using a 5,000 square foot threshold to initiate the requirements. And they're not exactly the same requirements, but the point is that the threshold is recognized as a critical threshold, a meaningful threshold, when you consider cumulative effects.
Mr. Johnston.
Is that when you talk about Paso Robles and Atascadero, is that 5,000 foot create or replace?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's standard as well. We've long ago departed from any exclusively for creation. You know, we recognize the opportunity that redevelopment provides to address some of these, you know, problems that we've inherited in effect.
So, Council, I understand what you're saying about the Phase 2 permit, although I guess that's a staff draft at this point. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
So does this mean that if this board were to decide to impose a permit condition that said the trigger was create 5,000 feet as opposed to create or replace, that we would not be in compliance with EPA requirements?
EPA isn't making the permit for the Phase 2 permit. The State Board is. However,
I'm talking about the Phase 1.
Right. I'm not sure what the EPA guidance is particularly on this. What I would say is that you have to, that the goal of each permit is to improve on the permit before it and to improve the water quality until we've attained all water quality standards. And so you have to look at this permit and what still needs to be done and increase those standards. And so the idea of create or replace is one of those ways to move forward in attaining those standards.
I understand what you're saying. I don't think you're answering my question. Certainly, no matter whether we say create or replace or create at 5,000 square feet, this permit, should we adopt it, the draft order, would be a substantial, should represent a substantial improvement over what was there in terms of water quality.
I think I can answer your question that as discussed by staff, these redevelopment or replacing projects are intended to address a significant source of stormwater runoff that adds pollutants to the waters of the United States and the state. The standard is meeting the maximum extent practicable. So that's a source of pollutants. The city is required to meet that standard by evaluating what methods will, in fact, reduce pollutants to the maximum extent practicable. So if you're replacing a 5,000 square foot area and you can replace it in a way that is a feasible way to replace it such that it reduces pollutants, that's what you're obligated to do. And so the staff has said, and the state board apparently is heading that way, that 5,000 square feet is a cutoff that is shown to be a significant, source of pollutants. So I would say no, it wouldn't be in compliance with the MEP standard if, in fact, that's a source of pollutants and they don't do anything to address it when they have that opportunity.
We don't know where the state board's heading. We know where the state board staff is heading right now. But right. So what you're saying is, were we to modify the language of this permit to say create as opposed to create and replace, as has been raised by a number of speakers, that we would not be in compliance with the MEP requirement that EPA puts on us for this Phase 1 permit? Is that your legal opinion?
That's what would be my legal opinion, yes.
Okay, Jennifer?
We're just looking to see if we could find if there was a specific guidance by USEPA.
All right. Anything more on your list?
No.
Okay. Well, and what is staff's recommendation, I guess, to adopt the permit as proposed with, I think there was a...
Yes, with that change, right?
And so there are a total of, I think, three changes. There's a couple of minor things in your supplemental package, as well as the language that we discussed on page, was it 90?
90.
Page 90 of the permit.
What are the two things in the supplemental package, just so we have it on the record right now?
The first one was a typo in the TMDL section, and the second one was also for the TMDL section where it took requirements that were in, or language that was in the findings and put them in the provisions per EPA comment.
Okay.
And there was one additional change on the second supplemental sheet that changed a date for when EPA approved that TMDL. We had the wrong date.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the staff recommendation with those changes.
Well, I'll entertain a motion.
I'm biting my tongue.
Okay.
Okay. I will move to approve the motion with the suggested change or the listed changes in the supplemental sheets dated January 27 and January 31, as well as the changes outlined by staff just now.
Okay. Do I have a second? We don't need one?
No.
Okay. We don't need one, Fran?
No, you do not need a
okay.
second.
Okay. All right. All those.
I would like to propose an amendment to that motion.
Okay.
And let's see if council thinks that this meets the legal standard. I would like to propose that if we have infill projects that are low-income housing, that cannot meet off-ramps A and B, that the city have the discretion to waive all or part of the in lieu of fee.
I don't think we can.
What that means is, I'm kind of surprised to hear that we can't legally address the create or replace, but I certainly have to defer to counsel on that, on her opinion as to what the law requires. But I'm still concerned about, since I know that a substantial chunk of the infill construction in downtown Salinas is low-income housing, I'm concerned about the unintended consequence that's been brought up repeatedly, and I'm looking for a way to mitigate that. So what that means is that if you are proposing a low-income housing project it would be in downtown Salinas. Nobody's proposing those in the future growth area, and it's not feasible to do on-site collection and infiltration, and you step down to the level of simply paying the money that's going to go to a pilot project elsewhere, that the city have the option, should it choose to exercise it, of waiving all or part of that fee.
If I could make one clarification, I would say your feasibility, it should be technical feasibility, mm-hmm. so that there's no argument of economic feasibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if we don't make that distinction, then what happens? Because I'm frankly trying to avoid the consequence here, and I can accept it, you know, if there's still that consequence of pushing development out of infill development in the city core to the farmland, but we're creating a hole for low-income housing. But I'm trying to create that hole for low-income housing.
Right, and you would.
Because there's practicality. It may be technically feasible, but not practical, because of cost considerations. It may not meet the MEP standard because of cost considerations.
Would you like our thoughts?
Yes.
So I think if I understand what Michael Johnson is proposing, is that the low-income housing projects would still have to go through choice A or choice B of seeing if they meet the technical ability to do it. And if A and B don't have the technical feasibility, then they're in the choice with C and being required to pay a fee, that fee would be waived. Is that what you're proposing?
And close. If that's what you're with two exceptions.
Okay.
One is technical was Jessica's word, not mine. I would say feasible, because there may be situations where it's technically feasible, but does not meet the maximum extent practical standard for economic reasons. Two, I would say the city has the option of waiving all or part of that, because I don't want to do is create in a situation where we've had much discussion about the city's financial state. I don't want to create additional burdens.
So I think we're okay with what you're proposing, but we're just double-checking here.
I had some thoughts about this. We've been examining this issue of applicability thresholds very intently with a smaller group of municipal representatives, and the concept of alternative compliance is a very attractive option that needs to be developed really by each individual city. But there's a couple of things. One is that for us to develop waivers for LID infiltration requirements or for any particular mitigation for stormwater impacts, we need to have a technical or water quality basis for that. We can't just use arbitrary judgments that affordable housing, senior housing, transit-oriented housing qualifies for some waiver, because there's no basis in water quality for such a determination. So we've generally said we won't be exempting those kinds of projects. But just like all other projects, they will have the option of achieving their compliance through some alternative compliance arrangement or strategy. What I believe the permit does is it allows the city to develop alternative compliance strategies and doesn't dictate what those are. And so what I think the city has the flexibility to do with the permit language as it is develop an alternative compliance strategy that may have a sliding fee or may have a regional facility that is contributed to by developments of a certain type and size, but not other developments.
Where is that language?
Well, that's what we want. I was going to suggest is we look at what the alternative compliance option looks like, and determine whether it's in any way prohibitive from what you're describing. Because if it isn't prohibiting the city from making that adjustment, then I would say we should leave it as it is.
Yeah, the language says that in the permittee may develop an in-lieu fee option.
Can you give me
It's on page 74.
74?
Right.
So do you want me to explain what the two options are? So that
74 of
page 74 of attachment 6 of your package.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the two alternative compliance options are to one for the project applicant to conduct an off-site project to mitigate for the impacts that they're causing. Or option two is to pay into an in-lieu fee program, and then the city would then conduct the project.
Mm-hmm. And they would develop the option so they could choose to waive that the fee that you propose.
Yeah, they'd have the right
not.
To waive the
That's
fee.
Not currently that option for the city to waive the fee is an option.
Okay, so I think it's, you know, if the board chooses to allow the city that option, I think that's fine.
And what would that language look like, Councillor?
Well, I think it's already within the option because it says the permittee may develop an in-lieu fee option to fund permittee retrofit projects. And if their in-lieu fee option is to have waived the fee for low-income development, I think that's within. I don't see any other language that says
well,
they.
On page 75, it explains the specifics of how that money is to be used, and it's to be used for another project, essentially. And
right.
So if that basically, if we're going to add an option for waiving kind of paying into that in lieu fee pot, we would have to add language.
Any money in the pot would still go towards your criteria. It's just there might be less money in that pot.
Right.
But if the city, the way this draft order is written, if the city decided to waive that fee for whatever reason they wanted, it was senior housing, transit housing, the mayor's brother-in-law's housing, would that be a violation of this order as it's written?
I don't think so.
I'd be more comfortable if there was, I mean, I don't want to do anything for the mayor's brother-in-law, but if
I'm not married.
Not this mayor, not that mayor, the other mayor.
The other mayor, yeah.
So, Francis, did you say that the answer to
the
question?
It doesn't, from the language there, it doesn't seem like that would be a conflict.
Fee option include waiver?
Right, the permittee may develop an in-lieu fee option, so I would assume the permittee can choose to waive a fee if they choose to. They would still then use whatever money they do have that to do alternative projects.
And well, a fee could even be $1.
Right, exactly. So, well, you know.
And I was going to suggest that maybe we could include an in-lieu fee option including a sliding scale, which is someone
right.
else said
right.
this.
That,
if we
that
could
would
insert
be, that would
that,
work.
Yeah, so you can just say that
it could be a $1
or a reduced
$1 fee that would just represent symbolically this is how they're meeting this criteria.
I just don't want somebody to come along later and despite the fact that the you know opinion during the hearing was this, the plain language says that. So can we, if we include, I like your concept, Dr. Hunter, if we could just include something like that in the language, that would work.
I would have a concern, though, that that exception could be used for anything. I mean, could we target it to Mr. Tron's focus, which is, was that the high priority, or I forgot what the term was under J, but somehow well, characterize it for infill.
This only applies to high priority. We're talking about high priority developments right now.
And I would recommend that you not get too much into micromanaging it, but that you can just include in there that the permittee may develop an in-lieu fee option that may include a sliding scale and comma to fund permittee retrofit projects.
So is that the language that you're proposing?
If that's acceptable to the board, yeah.
Okay.
And I guess I'll
Mr.
Would
Johnson,
like to point
is
out
that acceptable?
Thing?
And where would that go?
Okay.
Yes.
And then, Dr. Hunter, is that okay to put into your motion?
Yes, I accept that amendment.
I'd like to have Mr. Johnson repeat his.
I wrote it.
Well, it just, I think he wants to add the words that council has recommended that that includes a sliding scale.
Well, but I think he originally proposed that it would be downtown infill projects. And I just want to let Mr. Johnson know that CHSPA has done projects all over the city, not just downtown. So
this is in the parcel scale development section. So I'm assuming that this would not apply out in the future growth area, and certainly wouldn't be limited to downtown. You're right; it would be parcel scale development. And I would also note that the language in that section basically says to utilize alternative compliance measures, you do in fact have to demonstrate technical infeasibility. That language that you were looking for, Francis, is already in there. Yes, or Jessica proposed rather. It's already in there.
And can we point out something?
Yes.
Yes.
So this is the language here. So it says
Speak loud.
The committee may develop an in-lieu fee option, but it says the fee shall go towards a project that meets the following criteria. And one of those criteria is that provides an equal or greater contribution toward the desired conditions for watershed processes. So if you only required a dollar, how could that achieve that?
Because we still have the mitigation.
Right. Well, that's why it doesn't. That's why I don't recommend that you micromanage it. It's just if the city wants to have a sliding scale for different kinds of people within their fee, they could do that. It still would have to be that the.
Yeah. Because the way it's written, I think the city would end up having to do the project. They just wouldn't charge the housing.
Right, but that's why it's just flexible, and then the city can decide. They may choose not to have a sliding scale. They may see that it doesn't work, but. They can certainly do that.
So, Francis, can you speak to that? What was just raised by Jennifer regarding subsection C there?
Well,
so if there was a sliding scale, and if they charged a dollar because this was a low-income housing project they really wanted to see happen, well, that then. Doesn't comply with subsection C.
Well, it seems to me that the permittee may develop an in-lieu fee option to fund retrofit projects. So they're going to collect money from people from different groups, mm-hmm. And they're going to have a fund that does projects. If they choose a project, it has to meet those criteria. So,
Oh, I see. That criteria applies to
the project
pilot project that gets funded by the retrofit
right,
fund.
Right, and it could be from 20 different contributions to the the fee that they've been collecting, not necessarily. It doesn't mean this project, okay, it's not feasible to do a project on the site, so that project person has to submit a fee to the city. The city then takes all that money they've collected and chooses projects.
Got it.
So I think it's not in conflict with that to
I guess I'd like to maybe clarify at least staff's intention with the with number two, and that was to basically, if the city is going to do the project, that they, whether that's mitigating for multiple projects or just one, it's mitigating for the impacts that were caused by the project that's getting mitigated. So, for example, if you determine that X volume of water should have been retained on site A, and then you're going to do an in-lieu fee retrofit project somewhere a couple blocks away, you need to still deal with that amount of water. So I guess that was the intent with this language.
And so if the city did not require low-income housing, or they got a dollar, the city would be on the hook for the remainder.
Is that your interpretation?
Right. Or they could charge others more. I think mm-hmm. they could do it how they want. I mean, I think whether you put the language in or not, they could do what you've said if they choose to. Because they're gonna be the ones that develop the fee option, and they can decide how much they want to charge for that.
And they will have the retrofit fund to work with over time. And as Jessica noted, it would just have less money in it, depending on how many of those low-income housing, low-fee decisions the city decided to allow.
Mr. Delgado, did you have a question?
Input.
Go
ahead. I think I would, if I was Salinas, if I was the mayor of Salinas, I would go home tonight sick and angry if we just closed this off tonight and did what the motion states. The two biggest issues we've heard are cost and this parking lot issue, and I think the parking lot issue is way small, and LID has been identified as just a small part of a large program. So we're spending a lot of time on it because we want to try to do it the best we can, but I think it's a small issue in the big picture of what we've discussed today. And the request from the Chamber of Commerce representative was for as little as a month delay to better get a cost assessment. And so the substitute motion that I would like to propose is that staff continue in this next month to meet with city staff. I mean, our staff continue to meet with city staff and community reps to better assess the costs, because I do believe that if the costs are too high, that it's highly unlikely that they're going to find the money to do what the order says, and then we're going to get into either staffs working together to figure out a way to do it without such a high cost, or some sort of litigation, or at least butting heads toward sort of relationship. But that if we end up wherever we end up, after giving them some more time that they required, they will more likely agree that we've done everything we could to incorporate their input. And you know, they've been here for 10 hours today, and I don't think that it's asking too much, and I do think that it's recognizing their input. And I think as public members, whether we're mayors or only regulatory representatives, we need to incorporate public input to the best of our ability. And if we didn't give them a month delay, which is not very much time since this has been going on for several years, it would be as if we really haven't incorporated their comments, except for, you know, this small change of three words, control impacts too. So I would prefer that we either, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but we do this again a day after or a day before our next month's meeting to give the two staffs, as unpleasant as it might sound, especially to our staff, to keep grinding through these cost estimates, give them a month to do just that. And then after another month, we may be ready to go, and we may feel better about concluding this, or we may decide on something.
Here's my concern about that. We can't do anything about their costs.
except to understand them better.
But
and if there are high cost, just like we've done the last several months, if there are high cost items, staff has already either interpreted it so that the cost estimate came down, or they've made some changes due to the input. So more information and more knowledge might bring the cost down, either because of interpretation or because of change that results from the identification of a high-cost item that our staff may not have expected to be a high-cost item. And when, to their surprise, they find out that something is, maybe they have an alternate way of getting to where they want to go that the city maybe even comes up with that's less expensive, that satisfies staff. And we may end up doing that anyway, but I'd rather do it before we make this decision so that their input is heard and we act on it as best we can.
Okay. Russ?
Well, I think the mayor beat me to it because I was going to ask before you called for a vote that we reconsider the request from all of our legislators, as well as the Chamber of Commerce, as well as the City of Salinas, to give them the additional month what they asked for. What is another 30 days? It isn't going to make that much difference.
It's a lot of work and time by our staff and their staff.
Well, I think it's also clarification, a lot of misunderstanding. And I think we've cleared a lot of misunderstandings today. But I think as the staff continues to work with the Salinas staff, and I'll be very disappointed if there isn't some movement by the Salinas staff and understanding what the real issues are, and I think clarification. I think there's been a lot of clarification on wording tonight, as well as Mr. Finnegan brought up. You know, if you read it literally what he was talking about, that means, you know, do you have photographs of 1700 of, you know, year 1700 of the planned development area? Put it back to the natural state, restore it? I mean, what does that really mean? But if you literally read it, that's what it says. But I don't think that's what the intent was. So I'm with my colleague, Mr. Mayor, because I am too sensitive to the issue. But I don't think it's not going to change the order. We have to do what we have to do. But I think there may be some wordsmithing that we can do. There may be some further understanding with the City of Salinas and their staff. But, you know, I've been, and Mr. Chair, you know that I, the last previous two, I've held the City of Salinas feet to the fire on these permits. But I think this time it's such an overwhelming issue. And with the finances and the staffing that the City of Salinas has, it's been a task that's been very difficult for them to handle. So I'll second Mr. Delgado's motion.
Well, he didn't. He has.
You already have a motion.
Yeah, Monica's on the table. Okay. So, right. But before we do that.
So I'd just like to point out that we can't bring this to the next meeting because the key dates have passed. In order to give the city or to work with the city for like the next 3 weeks, that would mean not coming until the May 3rd hearing, in order to back up all the deadlines and such. Right. Because we've got to develop a package, we'd have to, so.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we would have to have something. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm not convinced all we can make May.
Okay, and Michael doesn't even think we could make May, so.
The dates that we have to follow in order to bring something back to the board in May, I have no confidence that we can bring something.
Yeah.
And so,
And actually July.
July. And so the main thing that the city talked about in terms of cost were a lot of things to do with the development. And these are the items that we've talked about with the city, and those numbers aren't going to change by talking about them some more. And those are the things that are the most important for water quality and the thing that we're most anxious to get approved in a timely manner.
Well, if I could add, once the permit goes into effect, the city actually has 12 months to dig in to do a valid and in-depth analysis, a financial analysis. And I think that we have the opportunity, based on the actual conditions in the permit, no more changes, but the actual conditions in the permit, to then look at where the city finds the onerous cost of meeting MEP is something that they are going to need to bring to staff and say, okay, we need some help with this. How are we going to accomplish this? That's the way the permit is structured. There is room for the city to present options in how they're going to get to MEP. We can't tell them how to do MEP. So the reason that I'm moving this forward, and it's not that I'm insensitive to cost. I live in the Central Coast, too. I live in a really small community, and we're facing a huge project that will be beyond the ability of a third of the residents to afford. But I will tell you that that project is going to go forward. That's just the reality we live in today. So my point is that staff cannot continue to work at a draft permit level. We need to move on to working on the financial assessment, getting a very a verifiable set of numbers. We can look at the high points and consider what those hardships are, and then determine the best way to assist with those that option and flexibility that's built into the structure of these permits. I think that the joint effort is another place where the city is going to benefit. I don't think they took that into consideration. I know from Heidi's work, and I know from the other communities that I'm working with in the coast, they understand that the collaboration and the partnership that's going on is going to offset their costs for meeting the requirements of the Phase 2 permit. So I feel like there's enough unknowns here that can't be resolved in a month. There's a whole lot more that's going to happen in this year, and that's going to have benefits for the city, even though they are the only Phase 1. The work that Dominic is doing with the joint effort is going to have benefits for all of our communities, and all of them are going to struggle to meet these conditions. And I think we are going to be sensitive to that, as we have been at every point. And as you noted, Bruce, we haven't hit hard on the city of Salinas, even though this is their third round. We have worked with them, and we have accommodated them in a number of ways. So I expect to continue to work in a positive and proactive way to get the best we can from the program that we have to work with. But I don't see any point in delaying, because we can't make a decision based on costs. Mm-hmm. That's not part of the stormwater program. In fact, we're prohibited from considering costs. So I would urge my colleagues to support the motion to go forward with the permit as modified, and allow us to get some real numbers with a good time frame for the city to look at this very carefully. A month is not enough to consider what you called, a tome. It is a big document. There's a lot there now that's changed. It's going to take you more than a month to discover what those changes really mean. And then I think the joint effort is another place to look to recover through collaboration and through partnerships in sharing costs, developing tools that are going to have mutual benefit and payoff with, a pool of investors. That's my view.
Okay. Mr. Briggs and then Dr. Wolf.
Well, actually, I was going to say something very similar to what Dr. Hunter was just saying in terms of all the discussion we've had about what the reality is of being in implementation, and this deal about fear factor is kind of a mirage. And we've had ample discussion about how it actually works in reality. So, but I did want to remind you about some of the testimony that we heard that I think is to this point, because Mr. Jeffries, part of what you're saying would be the benefit of delay would be you'd expect the city to do a better job of understanding what they see as the issues in the permit. And to that point, Mr. Delgado, you asked Mr. Peterson about, did you consider the items that were actually reduced in terms of these cost estimates in favor of doing them in a better way and that sort of a thing? And here's what I want to remind you of, and I think this was the last thing that Mr. Peterson said, I don't think we'll know until we do it. And I think that's what we need to do.
Dr. Wolf.
And to, I think, our executive officer was a good segue to what I was going to say, is that, you know, there's been a lot of focus on costing and accounting, and I think there's going to be a need to put more focus on value engineering. And it doesn't mean value elimination, saying what can we trim out of this and that. You know, value engineering is actually a recognized discipline, and the federal government has used that very successfully on certain civil engineering projects. And I think this is a case where, you know, we need to get a little more out of the box thinking rather than, oh my God, this is the end of the world. And it does not mean, from my point of view, that, you know, I do not respect, you know, the economic constraints that as a city you're faced with, but I think putting a little more of the energy toward, you know, this value engineering process is going to go a long ways in coming up with eventually a win-win. And when I refer to a win-win, is you meet the intent of a water code. And, you know, the environment win and the community also. And you can actually turn this project into a very successful story. You know, one of my personal phrases is turning lemon juice into lemonade. Well, I make wine too, but in this case it's a different story.
Okay. Last comment, Mr. Delgado, and then I'm going to call for a vote.
All right.
And if it doesn't go through, then there'll be another motion. If it does go through, then we're done. But go ahead.
All right. A lot of this is very different than a city process. But you mentioned that we can't consider costs. And I just want to refer to page 4. I don't know what attachment. 2A. Cost is the fourth in a list of 5 considerations. And it says it may be useful to consider cost. Will the cost of implementing the best management practice have a reasonable relationship to the pollution control benefits to be achieved? Well, to answer that question, you need to know what the cost of implementation of different BMPs are. And it seems like neither side really does yet. And we all know that there's realms of data that explain that voluntary compliance gets you a lot farther than being forced, and that relationship building and trust between regulators and regulated, you know, those are long-term large benefits to achieving anything that we want to do. And giving their number one concern some more time, I think, is going to benefit us in the long run rather than just trying to close this out tonight.
Can I just comment on that, your interpretation of costs? So under the Federal Clean Water Act, the board cannot specify the manner of compliance or dictate the cost.
Speak louder, Francis.
I'm sorry. Under the Clean Water Act, the board cannot consider the cost. The costs for MEP are the cost of the discharger, where they can choose between different methods of compliance. So they can choose, as Jessica was explaining, as long as they choose a method that's actually effective, they can choose the cheapest method possible. They can't choose not to do it. But you can't tell them, do this most expensive thing or this cheapest thing. You can just say you have to do what will meet these following standards. So even though costs have been raised and it's very of concern to you, the board cannot actually make a determination about how much it's going to cost them. So, or specify how much it's going to cost them or reduce the cost for them. It's up to them to make that determination. So that, what you quoted was having to do with management practices and within the standard of maximum extent practicable, they can choose within many choices of implementing the different parts of the permit they're supposed to implement, how much they want to spend to do that.
In other words, the discussion of cost is internal to the city's process. It's not for us to start second-guessing at this stage at all. It's not part of our criteria.
So are you both saying that to achieve the MEP standard, or for us to assert an MEP standard throughout this document, that we, as you said, we cannot consider cost?
Correct. Yeah, it's for them to consider cost in choosing their BMPs and how to comply, and then to justify it if they have to justify whatever their choice is.
Okay, and that's your opinion as well, Francis?
Well, Jessica wanted to elaborate a bit on it, but...
What the State Board has said...
Loudly.
Sorry, what the State Board has said was that in determining what MEP is, the Board may not perform a cost-benefit analysis, and it does not need to demonstrate the benefits of any BMP outweigh the costs. In addition, the Board should consider the cost of any impairments from stormwater runoff, such as the impacts of beach closures on the local economy, when determining costs.
Great. So we may not perform a cost-benefit analysis, and we weren't talking about that. We were talking about a cost assessment, not a cost-benefit analysis. And we don't need to demonstrate cost-effectiveness. Not that we can. We don't need to, but we could. And storm closure, we're talking about something much more onerous than a temporary storm closure. So to me, we have some reasons why we should.
But storm closure is a water quality impact. It's a result of poor water quality.
Right. What the State Board was saying,
I didn't get into water quality.
That the costs of water quality impairments are also a cost to be considered.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But we're not illegal. We're not prohibited from considering a cost assessment. We're not from considering costs. Because what I heard earlier is that maybe we can't even consider cost. And now I'm hearing that we don't need to, given the state guidance, but we could.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that the standard of maximum extent practicable is a standard that the discharger has to choose how to identify what management practices will achieve compliance with water quality standards. And the fact that some of the things may cost them more than other things, you can't tell them how to do that or affect how they do that. If there's some...
By my motion, if I were able to, we would be considering cost in order to achieve the MEP standard. So I thought you were answering the question of whether we're allowed to do that. Consider cost in achieving the MEP standard.
Can't do that.
Can't consider cost.
No, I'm just saying that the MEP standard, normally in a NPDES permit for something like a sewage treatment plant, the permit must include numeric effluent limits. They can only have up to 5 years to comply with new ones. Otherwise, most of them they have to just be immediate in compliance with. You have to require those numeric effluent limits, and you cannot consider costs at all. In a stormwater permit, the Congress chose to give stormwater permittees a less stringent standard of maximum extent practicable instead of a strict liability standard. But the maximum extent practicable is they have to do an iterative process to implement management practices that lead to meeting water quality standards. Each permit is supposed to upgrade those practices so that they eventually meet water quality standards. So it's up to them to decide within the range of the different things, you know, controlling illicit discharges, controlling discharges from development, what management practices are effective in reducing pollution. It's not up for you to decide what their costs are. And what I think you seem to be wanting them to do is them to go analyze their costs, come back and say, okay, this is how much it's going to cost us, and then you're going to tell them, oh, then you don't have to do that or something. And that is not within the permit's supposed to say you have to address illicit discharges, you have to address education, you have to address management, you have to do enforcement and evaluate your enforcement, you have to evaluate your effectiveness, you have to deal with development, all those things that was in that circle. They within all that determine what's practicable for them to do and what it costs them to do. And so them doing that analysis doesn't make a difference in what you need to tell them to do.
Well, since I see a higher chance of achieving cost-effective success by having a stronger partnership, I think it would be better to delay. And my question is, by our rules, which I'm not familiar with in this case, how soon, if at all, could we have a special meeting?
Well, what I would suggest is that you have a motion on the table to vote on that and then discuss if it doesn't pass, that you go on to that. Because then there would be some things that would need to be done about what comes back to the board.
All right. Since I'm concerned it's going to pass, I want to ask, is there a parliamentary means to make a substitute motion that would be considered before the original motion?
The motion on the table has to be voted on first.
So there is no place for a substitute motion?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Not that I've ever seen this do in 10 years. Russ, you've been here longer than me.
We have, long time ago.
Long time ago, we did a substitute motion?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what the... Roger, you don't remember? I was the one who made the substitute.
Did you guys bring my case of? Okay.
It's just something that's fairly common in city business, but this is different in other ways.
I don't know what the requirements are to go ahead and get that, implemented, a substitute motion. How does that happen?
Well, a person makes a substitute motion, and in a city's case, it requires a second, like all motions, but ours are different. And then you vote on that first, and if that fails, then you are back to the other motion or motions that are on the table.
Interesting. Okay. Michael.
We could get to that if we chose to by Dr. Hunter withdrawing her motion as well. I guess if I were to see them come back, I would not want to see simply a more credible set of numbers as to how much this is going to cost and another litany of speakers regarding inability to make the cost, because I think it's been made pretty clear that we can't. There's a very limited realm in which we can consider cost. I don't think it's fair to say we can't consider it, but pretty limited realm. If we were to see them come back, what I would hope to see happen, rather, out of a more accurate cost assessment process, would be that, and it's what I hoped to see today but didn't, that they come back, A, that they understand that some of the things they think are going to cost a ton of money aren't, and B, that in the process of going back and forth with staff on actually figuring out what it's going to take to implement this and costs, that they come back either with a modified order that is recommended by staff or with some very, very specific suggestions to consider modifying the order, because I mean, we're just grasping at straws to try to fish language out of what we saw today. And I kind of have the same question that
that Bruce did as far as what exactly does it take for this to come back? If it's just a modification of this order, does that take... I mean, I understand it has to be noticed for the agenda. It doesn't have to go out for comment if it's a modification of this order, does it?
Well, I can explain the process. You would, if you wanted to postpone it, you would continue the hearing. You wouldn't. You would close. If you wanted to allow additional public input, then you, in terms of a written record, then you would. You could specify we will accept additional evidence on this issue only. There would be a new public notice that would say the board continued the hearing. They'll accept additional evidence on this issue only. That it has to be turned in by X date, and then the next hearing, the continued hearing, you would only have evidence. You wouldn't do this whole hearing again. You would have very. You would need a very tight, specific timeline on very specific information to be allowed. So that you're not doing this hearing all over again. So
and the reason that we're doubtful that we could get that done by May or July or whatever?
The agenda package was due for review last week internally.
For March.
I mean, for May. We would have maybe about 3 weeks to get the work done. It would be difficult.
When's the deadline on it going out?
If we don't have to public notice any of it and just put it, send it out with the agenda?
No, I think Francis said there is public notice.
No, we can make the public notice now.
Yes, you would have to do public notice, but you wouldn't have to have 30 days public notice because you've already noticed this
how many days?
10.
So it goes out with the agenda.
Right.
Okay. Agenda for the May meeting gets...
3 weeks prior.
May would be April 18th.
And how about for the March agenda?
It's passed. We'd have to turn in.
Oh, no. It gets posted on the 29th.
Of
February.
So, I mean, what's the March deadline? I'm sorry. For the March meeting, what deadline has passed?
Our internal deadline to get the an agenda package through review.
And is that a necessity, or is that an internal discretionary deadline?
It's an internal discretionary deadline. Usually we like to have people review what we work on. But.
Right. It just seems like this might be it's 99% would be the same.
Well, what are we looking at then? What are we trying to do?
Can I explain something really quick? I have the schedule here.
Go ahead.
I'm over here. I'm Lisa McCann, program manager.
Yeah, hang on, Dr. Hunter. Hold on. Lisa?
Particularly, I wanted Mr. Delgado to hear. So you wanted to give this, if I understand what you're trying to check on the timeline, is to give the city some time to provide some additional information that staff then looks at, talks to them about, and prepares to discuss with you at a public meeting. So a month from now is the end of this month, February. That is the day, February 29th, that the agenda package, the full report, and that information has to be publicly noticed. That's just not physically possible. So that's why at soonest, if the city were to have their information completely prepared by the end of February, the possibility of working with the city on that, doing something with that information, preparing something to public notice for an agenda might work if that the dates are all... Everyone does what they need to do on time for May, at best.
I would think we would need, for this process to actually generate anything other than a repeat of today, people would need some time to go back and forth and to digest and to respond. It can't just be the city shooting something to staff and staff analyzing it, or we're going to be right back where we are now.
What are the provisions for a special meeting? I know our regular next meeting after March, I guess, is in May. But in...
We can have a special meeting anytime we want to have one. We can convene the board. We have to pick a date, though, that works with staff's calendar and everything else.
How about an April meeting?
And board members. Staff and board member calendars. Your calendar.
Makes sense.
And it has to give enough time.
Yeah.
If this is not going to be just a colossal waste, it has to give enough time for there to be some meaningful process between city and the staff, which this is not. If this were an easy set of issues, we wouldn't still be here.
Can I ask?
So I'm skeptical about.
Ask.
Yeah.
I know that staff is very reluctant to let this drag on, and concerned about you know projects in the pipeline and everything else, but we can't run it at light speed and expect any different result than we're seeing today either.
You know.
So if
my sense also here is that they're going to have a year to come up with their economic evaluation. If there's something that really they come up with that is so onerous that they really feel that they've got to come back to the board to get aired out, and for some reason we've got to reopen this permit, we can do that. Okay, it's a 5-year permit, but we have the discretion to open that up if we want. We don't normally do that. Okay, we have issues like this a lot with our permits from time to time, where there's a discharger that really has some issues with these issues, cost, or something else they've got to work out. It's not uncommon. They've got to do the penciling out and figure it out and come back to us.
Well,
I understand. I think really your effort, and it's an honorable one, it's a good faith effort to keep the lines of communication open, flowing back and forth, you know, good relations with Salinas. I think that's great.
It's more than that, but that's an important
part.
Yeah,
but in the end, if we have the meeting and it's to go over their cost for doing the program, then to me that is kind of a waste of the board's time.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the purpose. The purpose.
What would the purpose be?
The purpose would be to give time so that the two staffs could continue what they have been doing. They've made progress.
Right.
Numbers have come down. Interpretations have been clarified. For instance, the reclamation
right.
ditch. And the staff has said that they've made a lot of changes over the course of the last 6 to 9 months or whatever
right.
due to those kinds of communications. So it's likely that there'd be more of that sort of progress if the two staffs continued to grind through city estimates, fears, etc. So it's more, and that's just part of it too. The other part of it is the long-term benefit to the relationship. And the third part of it is letting the public know that we understand that their redevelopment areas have been abolished. We understand that they're in crisis economics. We understand that they have incredibly difficult needs that they're trying to meet that are competing with each other. And we hear that they're almost, you know, unanimously asking for a little more time. And so it's more than just to hear their cost estimates.
Mr. Chair?
We've been in a long-term relationship with them. You know, I mean, I don't want to make fun of the comment, but it's been 13 years, and this is the third permit, and so it's not like we're just going to the dance the first time with them. You know, we're in it with them. We're just in the middle of this huge iterative process in terms of stormwater management. You know, their own history has not been real good with compliance so far. So, and they don't come to the table with some real good sharp figures for us to even feel what they've done so far is very credible. So, I mean, I just have some reservations about it, but about delaying. I think they've got the time. Listen, if the permit is, if we vote yes, they're going to have the same motivation. It may be involuntary motivation as opposed to voluntary. They're going to have the same motivation to come up with the numbers as they would otherwise.
But will they know which of the 67 new actions to begin implementing? Or will they wonder if they should hold off on some of them because in a year when they provide their financial assessment, they can come back to us to reopen the permit. Maybe we'll change it and some of those 67 actions would go away or be modified. So maybe we shouldn't start implementing all of these modified and new tasks. And so it starts out with less certainty than if we were able to give them sort of our last, best, and final, and then they wouldn't have that uncertainty.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Dr. Wolf.
Thank you. This permit, we're 2 years behind, and I know that there has been a lot of these discussions haven't taken place just in recent months. I mean, it started 2 years ago. And if, as we approve these new order, they have 1 year to come up to speed. So doing the math, that basically brings 3 years to finally get to where we were supposed to be 3 years ago. And I know you're talking about relationships. I think the longer we wait, the longer we drag this thing, the more polarized, if actually it's going to be. Because it's going to be, well, let's try to pull a little more, let's squeeze. The way I see it is going to be a contest in, well, let's take advantage of this period to squeeze a little more out of a staff. And then we're going to have staff looking at their side and say, well, but we can't keep giving up. So I don't see a lot of good coming out of this. I think I see a lot more benefit coming out of going ahead with the order and making sure that it is understood that there's a year of learning and helping and coaching. And I think our chair pointed out correctly that the idea here is not all of a sudden within 3 months you got to be totally up to speed. And we have a good track record, I think, of trying to work. And you're absolutely right. If there is a big problem that we find, because of a relationship sensitivity, we're not going to say, it's too bad. You had your chance. Like it or not, we're going to make it happen, unless, of course, there was something highly illegal in terms of federal law that we have to address. But I think, we've been on the board for a year, and I've seen discussions with other sensitive issues about permits. And I think we have a very good track record of really trying to work and not, holding the permittee to the letter, so to speak, and trying to work with them. So that's my input.
There is a good reason to believe that the city could do the financial analysis sooner. It would be to their benefit. They have a year, however, to really delve into this permit and to assure themselves that they understand fully. But, boy, if they can get it done faster, they can come back to us and say, here are the three things or five things that we think are just not doable in a five-year period, and here's our proposal, here's our suggested method for making some progress with this, but in a different way and at a different pace. And that's when it comes back to staff, and it can come back to us. So that year is not intended that, if they can get it done sooner, it would be to their benefit. They need to know that as well. But I don't think they can do a meaningful analysis in a compressed period of time. I think Michael's comments and observations that we'd be back here doing the same kind of presentation could very well end up being, a six-week extension or an eight-week extension would put us back in the same position. And I have to say that, our elected officials very often at all levels, federal and state level, very often come in supporting the local municipality, and I think that as a mayor. So I'm not surprised at what we heard from our local officials. Of course, they would like us to do everything we can to work with these communities, and I believe that as a board we have, and in the 8 years that I've been on this board, I believe that we have listened, we have worked, we've encouraged staff to work and to cooperatively utilize
the best technical resources we can, the best thinking we can, to make progress within the reason, or within a reasonable set of constraints that we recognize. We hear it every hearing. So I'm hoping that you're going to see the value of going ahead with the permit and letting the process move forward.
I'd like to have us vote on it, and if it doesn't pass, then we can continue to discuss what to do next. Okay, go ahead. Quick.
I'll be quick. I guess I just want to float this as to whether people think there's any value to the idea of continuing this hearing for the limited purpose of taking further testimony on of allowing staff to some time to communicate, and then taking further testimony on specific proposed revisions to the order, but not taking any testimony on proposed revisions in sections J, K, and L of the order, which are small parcel development, construction mitigation, and the large parcel development, because frankly, most of the polarization I was hearing was developers concerned about that affecting their costs. What concerns me isn't that big number that was put up there on the board, the total cost to the community. What concerns me is the relatively small number of $1 million in the city's view. That's the city's cost of complying, and that's what I'd like to, if we did anything to push it back, that's what I'd like to see worked on, and what I think could be productive and avoid maybe some reprise of this. And I'm just curious if there's any openness to that on the board.
I'm definitely open to the idea, but I don't see why, now that you have the developers and construction industries most tuned in, that we wouldn't be open-minded to their suggestions of tweaks that would make their life easier and still achieve what our staff, still achieve the MEP.
Want to say something?
I'm just trying to see if I got a vote.
Okay.
Well, you got my vote.
Mr. Rose?
Yeah.
Dr. Wolf had to leave for a moment.
Okay.
Call a question.
Mr. Margetson, I'm sorry you've had to wait this whole day. Had I known, we would have done public comment right after lunch. Mm-hmm. You've been very patient. But I have further to drive home tonight than you do. You're lucky.
You're going to drive home?
Yeah.
On your discussion, if you get to the point of postponing or continuing this hearing, you can also limit the comments and only allow comments from the city because you've already had the hearing. So I would recommend that because you've already heard all that other stuff and just have
do it the same day.
A very brief, you know.
And so we are. So we can't speak at this point about the issue or about the permit.
We just can't vote.
Yeah, we can't. We're waiting for.
You can speak.
All right. I just wanted to point out that if memory serves, and Phil left, but I think I'm not sure which board member mentioned it, but something to the effect of after we got the cost analysis, perhaps there could be some more small tweaks after the in-between of the information. However, if memory serves, I believe staff already said that go-between has already occurred and that they've made all of the tweaks that they can while still maintaining the MEP. So even if we had different cost analysis and it looked different than it does today, I think that we've already gone to the point where we think we're crossing the line, that we can't cross that line anymore.
Right, where I'll respectfully disagree is where when staff told us earlier today that they asked for some backup information to the $1 million a year increase and the city didn't provide it. Let's say that the city were able to provide it in the near future, staff then could say, oh, well, you're expecting you're going to have to do that? Why would you do that? And they'd say, well, because it says right here. And staff would say, oh, yeah, you're right. Well, that's not really what we meant. So we'll change those words. You'll feel better. Your estimate will come down. We have a better product. We have a better relationship, et cetera.
I see. And then Mr. Thomas, I think you've been waiting for a while, if you may.
Well, I just wanted to point out that, and this is actually contrary to what Francis was just recommending, but about limiting the scope of the hearing, is that what you're recommending is that, or some board members are recommending that the staffs get together and work on this. And that seems to me to not be realistic, in that there are other stakeholders involved here. And the board gave the city a pretty hard time just a little while ago today about limiting public input and not including others. And if you're going to open this back up, is that what we're going to do? Are we going to squeeze the time frame and exclude others from the process? Or are you really going to open it up and continue this process? And I think that this really short time frame that you're talking about is just not real. Opening this back up is a significant thing to do. And if we exclude others, they're going to not be very happy, and I think they're going to find a way to insert themselves into the process.
Okay. I want to call for the vote.
All right.
The vote of Dr. Hunter's motion.
And what was the motion?
Dr. Hunter, would you please
40 minutes ago.
Yeah, restate the motion.
I move to approve the motion to include the changes that were noticed in the supplemental sheet of January 27, January 31, as well as the changes noted by staff in their comments that were made in response to certain points raised at public comment. So there were, I think, three changes that staff proposed.
Okay. All those.
Do we want to hear what those are, just to be clear?
It was, I believe, a change to page 90, the language there. Yeah, so that was on page 90.
Yes, page 90.
And want to read that off, Phil, for the record?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's page 90 of the draft order, section L1, striking the words maintain and restore and replacing them with control impacts 2.
And then there was the change to insert the word sliding, to include a sliding scale, and that was on page 74.
I think the words were, which may include a sliding scale.
And did we decide include on including that, or did we decide it wasn't necessary?
I thought it was.
Yeah, I think it's fine to include it.
Yeah.
We're
yes.
including it? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
page 74.
Page 74.
At the bottom.
At the bottom, item 2 would read, the permittee may develop an in-lieu fee option that may include a sliding scale to fund permittee retrofit projects.
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed?
No.
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 Okay. I vote for the motion, so we have a tie. 3-3.
Yeah, so in case of a tie, it does not pass.
It doesn't pass.
What's that?
It does not pass.
Okay. Right. It does not.
I propose a motion.
Okay.
I move that we continue the hearing to the pardon? That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, to May 3rd, and that we for purposes of giving the staff of the city and the staff of the board time to work together, and that we limit the areas in which we will hear testimony and propose changes to exclude J, K, and L of the order. I think those are the right sections. L is construction, right? And that's that's parcel and priority. That's it.
Can we do that? Exclude parts?
Sections of
Yeah, if you want to exclude that, you're not accepting any more comments on those sections, but ultimately you have to make a decision later.
We could still change those sections at the time that we deliberate.
The one thing is that I would say if you not choose a mandatory date for coming back to you, because there may be other considerations for staff and in terms of the date.
Is it appropriate to ask a question so I understand?
Sure. I'm definitely open to amendments.
I just like to understand the purpose for you to now carve out a portion out of the order, rather than, since we're going to delay the order by several months, why not delaying the whole order rather than carving out certain sections?
The order has been delayed by the failure to pass a motion.
Correct.
Unless we revote and pass it tonight, it is delayed.
I agree, but why?
Why carve out
a motion to carve out a portion rather than it didn't pass and we got to revisit the whole thing?
I agree that you don't really need to say what you can just say that you want to continue the hearing to a later date and staff can discuss, and that the areas that you want to hear more about are whatever. And they don't have to re-notice the permit. They can have a discussion and come back to you with a information, but you should say what information you want.
Yeah, what the information I would like to see is proposed revisions from the staff of the city and the staff of the board to the draft order. I don't think it's productive to go through another whole. Even if we have more credible numbers, at some point, as you've pointed out several times, the numbers aren't the driving factor in our decision, although they may well, they probably will influence the discussions between the two staffs as they try to find a way to the city and staff and the board staff work together to find a way to meet our water quality objectives.
So your point, it seems your concern is that staff identified some areas that they changed the permit in response to comments about cost and whatever, and that there might be some more of those lurking out there, and that they should be looking at that. And if there's more that can be changed, and they could come back and say, no, we didn't find any more. Or they could come back and say they did.
That's correct. And the reason I was carving out J, K, and L is that those are not areas of city staff cost, as I understand it. City cost, those are areas of certainly that affect development cost and have some indirect effect on the city. But in terms of direct effect on the city, really aren't there. And I think a fair portion of what's been going on here has been city staff responding to not surprising local pressure regarding the real increase in development costs from the mitigation measures we're proposing here. And I would like to focus in on the discussion on the issue of what the city can do and what the city can't do, as opposed to the what it's going to cost to do other kinds of development.
Well, let me just comment that even if I don't support narrowing it down, because I think if you leave it open, you leave it open. But you just described a process by which the two staffs will get together, the city will propose revisions based on their cost analysis, and then our staff will consider what those revisions suggest in terms of meeting the conditions of the permit. They may or may not be able to adjust the permit. That means that you need full stakeholder review. So I would not support anything that did not allow for full stakeholder review. I heard Steve Shimmick today say he wasn't noticed on the draft plan coming out of the city. We know that there's Robin Lee came today, and I know there are others because we've heard from these folks along the way that stakeholders have not had full review and input. So if you're going to open it up, then it's going to be open to the full process for review, and any changes that get made will be, you know, at staff's discretion in terms of meeting the conditions of the permit that they've outlined for us. And then that has to be reviewed by stakeholders beyond the city, beyond developers. That's not enough.
It's going to take more than May.
It's going to take more than May. So if that's
what you want to do, then that's okay. But we're going to push it out into the summer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Explain to me why. I would not anticipate limiting the comment at the continued hearing to just the city. I agree with Mr. Roger that's a bad idea. But I'm not sure at this late stage of the game, and given the probably fairly limited scope of change that this board's going to end up looking at, why we need a whole another public comment period.
Well,
I think that
because if you change the permit, you have to allow other stakeholders to look at what those changes are and make comments as to whether or not they can support, or if they have criticism of how that change in the permit will not improve water quality standards or water quality be protective of water quality and beneficial uses. There are different stakeholder perspectives at stake here.
Maybe I can just jump in on that. That if the staff, after discussion, chooses to propose additional changes, then we have to look at those changes to see if they're substantive and require renoticing and additional public written comments, in which case they would have to be 30 days of public comment. If the changes are minimal, it wouldn't require 30 days of public comment or another opportunity. So we'd have to see what is the result. So that's why my suggestion is not to pick a date like May 3rd or whatever, because you don't know what.
So that's a legal threshold that staff counsel will basically.
Right. So that's a normal thing that if there's additional changes to a draft permit that's been out for public comment and the changes are significant.
What's the difference between significant and minimal?
It's not an easy thing to define without looking at that. Kind of, you know it when you see it, you know.
Okay, let's have the motion. The motion is just to continue this item.
The motion is to continue.
Okay.
Do you have a date?
We're leaving that open.
The motion is to continue and to hear it as soon as practicable. As soon as feasible.
As maximally extent practicable?
To the maximum extent practical, yes.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right. Yes, Jennifer.
So I want to make sure that we have the direction that we need in order to move
Sounds
forward.
Sounds like the city's got to do some homework and get to you.
So, kind of, and I guess what it is that you're looking for from the city, because if we just get more cost numbers from the city, that's not going to be very useful. I mean, we've
so we didn't give them a deadline. Do we want to give them a deadline?
Or even just, it's not necessarily a deadline, but specific things that you're looking for. I mean, because what we haven't seen in the past, because when we have asked them about costs, is we haven't seen them identify, okay, so this is what we think is going to cost too much, this is what we could do instead, and this is what we propose as an alternative. We just get big numbers, and that's not useful. And we look at the numbers and we think, you're crazy if you're going to pay that much for this. Why would it cost this? And, you know, so...
Okay, so city,
so
how
we
long...
would like some
how much time? How much time do you need to get your pencil sharpened and be able to really discuss with staff what it is that you need more time for?
Yes, thank you. We need 2 weeks to look at it, to sort it out, to get some numbers together. We will contact staff as soon as possible to begin to arrange times to get together, to be clear on what it is that we will talk about. But we need a couple weeks to sort it out, get it right, because we don't want to waste anybody's time on this. We've been given a wonderful opportunity. Thank you. I believe it is about relationships. It is always about clarity, and we plan to make the best use of this.
I'm sorry. Hang on. Jennifer.
So in 2 weeks, you can actually propose to us alternatives of what you can do to achieve our objectives, because we've explained to you a couple years ago what the objectives are, and we've asked for you to tell us if something costs too much. This is what we've asked several times. If it costs too much, tell us how you can do it better, and we've received none of that. So, and I'm going to get that in the next 2 weeks, even though I've been asking.
I don't think that you're going to get the entirety of what you're asking for, but I think you're going to get the beginning of the conversation, and that we're going to make sure that we get you what you want and what you need and what the permit needs, and that we also get the clarity we need, that we also take into account the pluses and minuses, the priorities, and how those all fit together.
So how much time would it take to be able to give us what your proposals are to achieve our objectives that aren't going to cost that much money?
I'm sorry, it's an awfully big question at 11 hours and 30 minutes into this meeting. In 2 weeks, I will have something to you of substance, and we will begin the conversation. We'll talk before that.
Okay.
I don't want to waste anybody's time on this. I just need to make sure I understand exactly what you're after, which I do not. I will look around inside the city, see what I can find out. We do know we have numbers available, but we will work with you to make sure you get them.
Well, it's not what I want. I mean,
it's what the board wants. It's what the staff needs.
Mr. Peterson, I think you heard the tone of the questions from the board. I think you know what we're looking for.
I do.
And you know we're going to pass this.
Thank you. And we will respond appropriately.
Okay. We're giving you the opportunity. You asked for it, so now.
Do we need to give them a drop-dead date to actually
get some stuff to the city?
So I don't like it being so open-ended.
I don't either. Okay.
What's
the key dates? It's like...
He's going to get back to you in a couple of weeks, but that opens the discussion.
Right. At 30 days,
okay,
we should be able to respond to the costs that you want, the costs that we're concerned about, and to have some discussion, trying to get the discussion to have what I consider the pluses and minuses, the shift of the priorities, and what that would mean to the bottom line.
Is there a chance in the 2 weeks we could get substantive information, and then in the subsequent 2 weeks you could flesh out the rest of the information that we need or you want to give us?
Yes, because there does need to be a back and forth to get it right. We will have substantive information in 2 weeks.
I still say May 3rd meeting. Whatever the backup time for the staff.
If we get everything from the city in 2 weeks, there's a very far outside chance we might be able to make the May meeting. But if it's a month before we get substantive information from them, I don't see any way we can make the May meeting. There is no June meeting, so then we'd be talking about July.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically, I think if we're serious about May, we need their information from them and everything in 2 weeks.
Or potentially, okay.
And Mr. Peterson, I have to say, if you're just bringing costs and not some ideas as to how some alternate ways to meet the goals, just saying we can't afford to do this isn't gonna get you very far with the staff, I suspect, and I know it won't get you far with the board next time.
I am crystal clear about that.
Yeah. The other thing is, I'd like you to talk to Heidi's group. So before you start saying we can't afford this or this isn't going to work, there seems to be an offer there. for some cooperation. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't.
I am an extremely collaborative person in every way. It is the only way we're going to get done what we need to get done. Right. This was a new offer to me today that I heard in this room for the first time. I am most interested in pursuing it.
Okay. Because I just want to make sure that before...
And the other piece I would speak to also... Yes. Is I absolutely am committed to community engagement with all stakeholders. Once we get this in place, that will happen whether we need to or not, that we will engage our community in a useful way regarding this permit at all levels. We're committed to that. We have done that on a number of issues, and we will do it on this one.
Well, I appreciate that because I was going to suggest that you contact Mr. Schimmick. And work with him.
And Ms. Lee.
And Ms. Lee.
And the others.
And I have worked with Robin on a number of projects. Good. And she understands how I do the work and how we can make this work. So.
Okay. But now, do we need a drop-dead date still?
Yes.
In other words, it is 60 days?
Too long.
Well, in terms of them getting the substantive stuff back?
Yeah, I think that's too long.
I thought I heard Peterson say 30 days.
I understand that, but let's say he's not able to do it and time just kind of creeps.
I don't think we should let time creep. I don't think he intends to let that happen.
Mr. Young?
I understand, but then, you know, so we're back up here in July for Watsonville. This is easy also for them.
Well, I understand. That's why I said May 3rd.
Yeah, but...
I mean, we don't know that this won't work out with minor modifications, right, and that we might have a special meeting prior to May. If there are essentially minor modifications.
Okay. I'll leave it the way it is.
Okay. And you'll let us figure that out.
You know what? You can calendar it again if there's some breakdown or you're not getting what you need. And you got to get this back to the board for a vote.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Okay.
What I would propose is that we immediately send a letter to the city telling them what we want. So we put it in writing. So we don't, in 30 days from now, we don't get more general numbers that are not backed up. So we tell them exactly what we need.
But give them a two-week, I mean, we're just agreeing with them, a two-week date for certain input and a 30-day date for the rest of the certain input.
Mm-hmm. We can do that.
Yeah. Michael, start drafting it. Okay.
I think we've heard from Mr. Peterson, and I believe that he's committed to make these dates. So I
okay, yeah. Fine.
And that's why I keep saying May 3rd. Let's
all right.
Set it for May 3rd.
Okay. Well, let's let staff deal with that. They'll
we'll
do what
we'll
they can
the best
to make
can.
That work. If they can't make it work,
we'll do it in April.
No.
No.
We can't.
They don't have a meeting in April.
Okay. No. July is fine with me. If it's not fine with staff.
It's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're done with this agenda item.
We didn't have a vote on it. We did have a vote. We did.
We
have
did.
A vote.
We had a vote to continue the item without a deadline.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.